digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
So we have a couple of things we're going on today. I've been threatening to do this for a while because I keep running into Bob all over the place, and I told him I got to get him on Digging in the Dirt. Bob Halstead is my guest on this portion of Digging in the Dirt. He is a well-known person here in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Bob has worked 28 years in housing and community development and real estate in Bridgeport, and is president of the Bridgeport Community Land Trust, which has been around for 40 years. Bob is an architectural preservation advocate and a community garden and land use activist, sometimes known as the Garden Guy. Early on, Bob had great success advocating turning empty lots of Bridgeport into community gardens. And currently, he's working with the Harding Community Garden at Harding High School here in Bridgeport. Hey, welcome.
Thank you for that fine introduction. It's so nice to be on this show.
Well, you know, we keep bumping into each other at different events around Bridgeport, and that we are both interested in. You know, we have similar interests. So I definitely wanted to have Bob Halstead here. So
yeah,
everything's good with you?
Yeah, everything's good.
That's good. So, you know, what inspired me to say I finally got to do this is I saw a video of a drone that flew over Harding High School and showed us the Harding Garden. Tell me about how that happened.
Well, I have one of my team members came up with the idea, and I said, sure, because I thought it was a great idea. And it was. He came by with this guy that he found, this incredibly talented people as volunteers over there, resourceful, definite, a lot of contacts. And this is just an example of the way it's been going at Harding, is that, you know, one day it was an idea, the next day it happened. And it's just awesome to see it from the air, because that's the site of the old General Electric factory that they tore down years ago, with an old lake next to it and the new Harding High School. So it's quite a beautiful area. It's up there in the Remington Woods and Lakeview Cemetery. There's a lot of good scenery from the drone, and then it shows on the neighborhoods. You know, the Shot Tower down on the east side there, what they call Remington Village up the hill from the old GE factory, and the east side and the churches. It was quite a view from up there in the drone.
Yeah, it was. It's something about that sort of slow motion action that makes it really beautiful, right? And you get to really observe something you don't see, like a bird's eye view of what you do.
Yeah, there's something about it, though, that it's like, did you ever think you'd live to see things like that in your lifetime?
Hey, well, my 3-year-old grandson, for his birthday, I got him a toy drone. I mean, literally, it's cost me $20. And it doesn't do anything. It's made almost of rubber, so it can't hurt anything. And it lasts for 10 minutes, and he takes it and throws it in the air, and he's going, hey, Papa, can we play with the drone? You know, so here I am in the house playing with drones, you know, it's the modern world we live in.
Yeah.
Yep. So tell me, what makes the Harding High School, I mean, you've done this a lot, started garden after garden after garden. What makes this one any different or special?
There was a confluence of influential people on the Board of Education and within the school system that approached me because they knew I do gardens. And I was first approached to possibly manage the school gardens that are all over the city, which were built, but they had fallen into disrepair. So I said, sure, and I went in front of the Board of Education, and they approved my involvement and said to go do the job. We had a meeting, and the Director of Science, Angela Bouchon, said, and the assistant, the superintendent, said, oh, would you like to make a garden at Harding? And I said, I don't know. Sure. So everything came together, a lot of talented people. I happen to know somebody within Harding. I know somebody who grew up, went to Harding, who managed the garden. He's an expert, Charles O'Reilly. The guy inside Harding is Rob Mestrone. Me and the Board of Ed people was Maria Pereira. So we got the football team coach involved, and we we had got the students involved, and we built the garden, and then the Board of Ed built us a beautiful fence. And the idea sprang with a theme of pizza oven. It was donated by Jim Sheehy for the community garden program. It's on wheels. It's wood-fired. We brought that over there and made pizza with the culinary program at the Harding.
From the stuff that you grew in the garden, right?
That's right. That was
That's a cool idea.
Judy Marshall. It was...
What kid doesn't like pizza?
Yeah. So there was a perfect spot for it that wasn't being used on the new campus. It's a brand new school. And Maria Pereira said, well, gee, it's really something that you don't have a school garden when you have a culinary program here. So the culinary program came out. And I guess the idea is pizza is fun to improve their nutrition and to get them interested in gardening and cuisine, because you can do all these things with not a lot of money and have the same enjoyment as people that have money who enjoy this food and enjoy gardening. They can enjoy food and gardening without having a lot of money, and that's the idea, and it's fun. And it teaches them a lot of things about life, gardening.
Yeah, it does. I'm totally into that. You're preaching to the choir here. Hey, how do they respond, the kids? Do they really like it? They like the gardening?
Well, some of them come out, and it all depends. Some of them really like it, and some, it's going to take a lot of work to get them involved.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a start. And like I said, they're going to taste the pizza, and they're going to see the vegetables and see how much fun it is. And from there, it backs up, and maybe their parents will get involved. And maybe they'll join a community garden within the city, too.
Yeah, that would be good, right? I mean, there is a good thing about gardening is that you get results that you can see and taste, right? That's a bonus for teaching people about this.
Yeah. I mean, people really get excited about these things, as you know, as you do, as I do.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to, you can start late in life, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I started when I was 30.
You've been at it a while. What keeps you going about this? Why? What drives you about starting gardens and stuff?
Well, it's something that I can do, and I think I'm good at it, so I don't have to spend a lot of time getting things done. If people come and help me, maybe I'll spend the morning volunteering and really help them, or maybe I'll go to the city council and make a speech as to why they should use a city-owned piece of property. Things like that. It's the develop. You know, since 1980, we've done about 50 gardens in the city. We about 25 left. They all get taken over by development and sales. So, I think the first time I got involved with it, I was working for Neighborhood Housing Services in Bridgeport. We were fixing up abandoned houses, but there were a lot of vacant lots, and they said, "Why don't you start a community garden program?" And I went to the Bronx and I saw what they did there. So we used CETA money the first year. Nobody knew about community gardens, so I couldn't get money. But I got training money, and that paid for materials. And as soon as we got publicity and it was all over the papers, then the next year the city, everybody started funding it and throwing money at it, actually. $30,000 a year we were getting.
Nice.
In the early 80s. And we made a lot of gardens. I met Gina McCarthy when the city decided they were going to sell their gardens under Mayor Fabrizi. I ran into Gina McCarthy at a Trump. She was the head of the DEP in Connecticut, and then she became the national head under Obama. And she got us going, actually. We went and toured the neighborhoods, and I showed her, and then there happened to be a good grant program from the Department of Environment and Energy Development, DEED, the DEP program, used to be the DEP. So we got a big grant, and well, we fought the mayor, and we got the city council to deny his sale of 13 city properties. So there's a lot of political activism. The whole thing's a real estate development project. You got to do a lot of the same things as if you're building a house. You got to get the land control, you got to get the approvals, and you got to build it. So, but with the community gardens, it's the people run their gardens. That's the whole key. is to let them run their own gardens.
So some of the ones you started really early on, are they still thriving?
Yeah, I started, the oldest one I started in 1981. It's at 751 Hallett Street. And we have one right over here near UB in Gregory Walnut Ridge Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was started in 1985. So that's almost, I don't know.
It's a long time.
But the
you've been at it a while.
That's still going. And
that's good.
That's sustainability.
Yeah, that is.
In practice.
Yeah, and how many people take advantage of that? How many people are working that land still, do you know?
Well, the it all depends on the specific demand in the neighborhood. Lately, the last 15 years, we've had an influx of people from India who have taken a lot of plots because there are times when we have trouble filling them, but that's not been the problem, especially because of people like from Central America.
Immigrants and stuff who want stuff that they had in their own countries but can't get here.
Yeah, so I feel good that we are giving them the opportunity for a continuation, that they're not going to lose their heritage like my ancestor did when they came over from Ireland. They lost their heritage, and I don't want that to happen. So it gives them the, and they teach their kids how to do it. Now, they're a whole different culture, a whole different country. But we still have the people we started with, the Hispanic community in Bridgeport and the African-American community in Bridgeport, too, which when we first started, we had a lot of participation from those two groups.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. So when you identify a piece of land, then you get the paperwork done, you get all the permissions, you've got control of the plots of land. What's the first thing you want to do? What's your strategy with that land?
Well, you got to look, make sure it gets enough sunlight. You got to look at there's enough interest in the community. A guy named Richard Winnie, who wrote a great book, that you ought to talk to him.
Future guest, you say?
Yeah, he used to be the head of the Hartford Food System. He's in New Mexico now. He comes back. He did a book that's beautiful called "Bridging the Food Gap and the Land of Plenty." And I really almost memorized the book because he worked in Hartford. He said community is the most important thing. And then start a garden, you got to have, his rule of thumb was you have to have five interested people.
Five people.
Yeah.
And they have to be like committed to doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you look for first, is that?
Yeah, and a lot of times it finds me because people hear about gardens, like, that's a good thing I'm on the show today. People might approach me and say, we want to do a garden.
There you go, yeah.
So if they want to do a garden, I'll tell them how to do it.
Come to the garden guy.
Tell them how to get the land, how to get the approvals.
Great. And then what I was talking about, I think more than all that stuff, is also, what do you do about the soil right there? Like, so a lot of times, I'm sure it's dirt at the time you get it. And then how do we go about turning it into good soil to grow stuff in?
Now we get grants to bring in new topsoil.
Oh, you bring it all in?
Yeah. Anytime, all these houses, all these lots used to have houses on them.
Right.
So around the edges, there might be lead in the soil because that's where they scrape the paint.
Mm-hmm.
But when the contractor fills in the foundation, he's under contract to put clean fill there, uncontaminated. So,
do you test it to make sure that's the truth?
Yeah, we test it. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
1 year we had University of Connecticut come down, national experts come down.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for things like magnesium and pH and calcium and phosphorus, but for the chemicals like lead and arsenic and all that. So pretty much got a clean bill of health on that.
Cool.
So we bring in topsoil, and we like raised beds, too.
Oh, yeah, raised beds. I'm getting to like those myself. I've got a mixed bag of garden and raised beds.
So anyway, it's a lot of work to do. When you first start, those piles of dirt are very big, and there's a lot of wheelbarrows, and it's a lot of, and you have to have somebody who knows how to put the boxes together. So that's perfect for volunteer service groups. They come in and they blitz it out in a day or a week, and they put the boxes together. Like in Harding High School, we got the football team to fill all the boxes.
Good, strong men there.
I'm telling you, things really came together over there.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So that's your latest one, the Harding High School.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. So when Harding High School said, did you work with teachers and they decide what they're going to plant? You know, I'm sure tomatoes are on the list. You know, what else did they think they're going to grow?
Well, we talked to the Judy Marshall, the culinary program there, and we did discuss, well, we're going to get things for pizza. Mm-hmm. You got to get peppers, tomatoes,
basil,
arugula, basil, all that,
mm-hmm.
and peppers. So we grew all kinds of esoteric things. Charlie O'Reilly put in okra and chicory. We even had some celery root, kohlrabi, a lot of carrots this year. They came in really good.
Mm-hmm.
Cucumbers. So it worked out pretty good because they regularly have lettuce salads over there, and they serve it out mostly to the faculty. But, you know, we're growing there, and we're hoping that, you know, it's a big task ahead of us to change a culture of fast food. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really hard. So when you put in like Harding High or even one of these other lots, is there sort of a point person that you deal with? Because you're not there giving advice and instructions all the time. There's got to be somebody who's like sort of in charge, right?
Yeah, that's the key, is to get the leadership. And I rely on people's enthusiasm. And if I pitch it to them as it's not about Bob Halstead, but this is the idea here, and people come forward because they want to do good things, you know, so that's the thing. And then you get people who just want to take a leadership role, and then that could probably be the captain of the garden. The captain runs the garden, signs up people.
So do you give advice about how to amend the soil? I mean, that's a key thing, I found, you know, that if you don't do the soil right, the results are going to be spotty. So do you get involved in that also?
Yeah, well, a lot depends on the individuals in the garden. A lot of times I get these enlightened people who, one guy brought seaweed from the seawall in Stratford this year, and the other people compost. We had leaves on the side of one garden that had been there. We cleaned the garden every year, and then after 10 years, we spread all that around, and it was just like a really, really good soil.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of worms.
Yeah, gotta love it.
We create whole ecosystems of what was barren land, desolate. We all of a sudden, we have all this, like, squirrels and bees and butterflies.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's something that I notice.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and we try. Some people really gives people a chance to be creative. Like they might want to put sunflowers in the front of the garden.
Butterfly bushes.
And we have butterfly bushes, rose bushes, elderberry bushes, fig trees.
I put one of those in this year.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about that, but some people do.
Yeah, I've failed twice, but this year it looks like I'm finally doing it. I talked to an old Greek. He says, you put it near the vent for the dryer of your house. It keeps nice and warm all the time. He says, it changes the climate. I said, wow, that's an interesting trick. So I did. I planted it in the raised bed near the house, near the vent of the dryer.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, you watch. And so far, so good. Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to go find that old wisdom, you know, stuff that you have.
No, I don't. I like to say I don't know anything, although I'm a master gardener. I think these people have been doing it all their lives, no more than I do. And yes, everybody has their opinion. You listen to everybody.
Right. There's always different ways of doing it.
Yeah. You get a lot of ideas. I didn't know anything about gardening when I was 30 years old. And the good thing about community garden, you go out there and you just ask anybody, and they love to talk about their ideas and how to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the truth. We're talking to Bob Halstead. He's a longtime community activist in gardening and urban gardening here in Bridgeport. Like I said, I've seen Bob around doing different things. So what's next? Any projects coming up that we should know about?
Maybe get more involved with how to maintain school gardens during the summer. Because the students
That's
leave
a problem, right?
Yes.
We didn't talk about that. So tell everybody about why that's a problem.
That's a problem because the students leave, the teachers leave, and then nobody waters or weeds. So all the gardens. So we got to figure out, that's my next thing, is to figure out a solution to that.
Well, you let me know if you find people that really love the weed, because I could use them.
I do have people love the weed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you. It's not on the top of the list for most people.
Well, the thing is, you got to catch. I get all this advice from Charlie O'Reilly that you got to weed, keep on top of it, and then after a while, they don't come back at some point in the year.
Catch them before they seed, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do that, and I also do a lot of cover crop, you know, cover crop in the winter now with a winter rye and peas and stuff, and then I let it grow high in the spring and cut it down and just lay it there, and it suppresses the weeds, and then I also get a bale of hay, and I also double mulch, and the weeds don't come up. I have, you know, they come up here and there, and they come up right where you leave a little space, you know.
Yeah, that sounds, I'm sure it's not as easy as it sounds, Kevin. I'm sure it's a lot of work.
You know, it gets easier, you know. To me, I try to do all my heavy work in the spring, you know.
Yeah.
And then if you do it right, it can help. But weeds are always a problem. Everybody's looking for weed solutions.
Yeah, you go over to talk to Lee Ganim, he'll give you his opinion. He says, don't pull the weeds out, just cut them at grade level, because you pull them out, you flash all the weed seeds and they'll revive, and when you keep the roots there, they rot and supply
good for the soil, yeah,
aeration for worms to get through,
yeah,
and it nourishes the soil. Sure. And then you get people that just say you pull it all out.
No.
And then you get people that say you till, and then you get people say you don't till.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the no-till area right now. I've been convinced by a lot of people I had on this show. So I'm sort of convinced that cover crops and you know, no-till is way to go. But, you know, because I had somebody on here who told me that, you know, the weeds are just doing their job. When you scrape off the earth of its vegetation, that's a wound on the side of the earth. And then the weeds are the scab, and they're coming back to scab over that wound. And I really love that kind of description, because I think it's kind of the truth, you know. And so they are definitely going to choke off all your stuff, being weeds as they are, but at the same time they're doing their job.
They're very smart characters, aren't they?
You can't stop them. You can hold them back and suppress them, but you're not going to stop them, right?
And there's new ones all the time, huh?
Yep, there's always new ones. Well, Bob, thank you so much for coming on. We should do this again sometime when you got a new project.
It's been a pleasure to be here at my station here with my daughter's a programmer.
Yeah, Catherine is a programmer here at WPKN.
Steve, Aaron, the gang, and I always hang out with you guys.
Right. We're always at events together. Yeah. So it's really nice to have you on the air with me here
nice
on Digging
here.
In the Dirt. Yeah, thanks, Bob Halstead. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Right. Bye-bye.
Digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.